always a pleasure to have a chance to talk to John Denny, superintendent out at Hanover Horton. And we were just kind of reminiscing, John. It was just a year ago, that fateful night. You guys played Concord. We were out there doing the game. And that's the last game, basketball game I've did.
That, you know, to think of what we were focused on that night compared to what we are, and you know, looking back at it now.
The gym is packed.
Oh, it was capacity.
They're falling out of the ceiling.
You know, and at that time, I think we had, what, two or three, maybe five cases in the state, you know, of coronavirus at that time that we were aware of.
We were just hearing about it, really, weren't we?
Yeah. It, you know, just the first case, I think, was like earlier that week or the week before. And, you know, obviously ended up having some tragic events tied to it. And,
yeah,
you know, it's just amazing looking back in the mirror to think it's been a year.
Everything that's happened, be hard to detail it, wouldn't it?
Oh, crazy.
Especially for you guys. Education has been hit probably as hard as any business or industry.
It's forced us to change, you know, and adapt. And, you know, the hardest part about it is we've had to work harder to take care of certain aspects of it, but it's also been parents having to take on certain things with some, you know, like for us having a virtual Wednesday so that our staff can catch up on things. And, you know, but thankfully, the community has been super supportive and everybody coming together to help out each other and get through this the best we can.
So where do you stand right now?
We're doing 4 days a week. Wednesdays are virtual days, which allow us still to go in and clean through the buildings and also give the teachers time to prepare because our teachers are providing lessons to our online students. And we're still...
What percentage is
that? We're still
that?
About 80-20. 80-20 coming to school and 20 to 25%. It kind of varies a little bit here and there. You know, and
that's probably above average.
In our county, I don't think it's too far off.
Okay.
You know, some of the... You know, pockets might be a little higher, but I don't think it's too far off of where most of them are.
Mm-hmm. So, got to get through the end of this year and then what kind of reevaluate?
I think so. You know, at this point, I think, you know, my gut's leaning toward the fact that we're going to be able to get back to the 5 days a week. You know, with, of course, depending on which article is right. You know, as far as where the vaccination rates and...
I think everybody should be vaccinated by the end of the summer.
I'm definitely, you know, optimistic on that. You know, and the... I think you may end up with masks sticking around a little bit longer. But I think people are getting used to... You know, I think the kids are pretty well used to it by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think we're going to get back to a point where we can have school looking pretty much like normal by the time we get back in the fall. At least that's my hope.
Yeah. But hard to plan, isn't it? That's one issue.
It is. You end up, you do a lot of big picture planning and then hold off on the detail work until it gets a little closer and start monitoring. You know, it's like you go back to that announcement a year ago that we were going to be shut down for 3 weeks. I thought we might have an extra week. I thought that week after Easter might be it. We'll be out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and we'll be good. You know, so it is one of those. The crystal ball's been a little murky lately.
Okay, this COVID package, schools are going to get about $2 billion. They're saying $450 per pupil. Now, in the past, you would have been dancing in the aisles, clicking your heels. I don't know where that puts you now.
It's one of those, unfortunately, with the way that the majority of that money got rolled out was based on the Title I allocation formula, which is all based on your census data, which doesn't take into account your actual student population because of school of choice. That our census data puts us at like 9% of our students living at, you know, the poverty level. In reality, we've got about 36% of our kids qualify for free and reduced lunch. So... We're going to get off that initial batch. We're supposed to get a, you know, like $270,000, $300,000 additional, while some of the other smaller schools around us are going to get over $1 million in it. To where I was thankful that the plan to get it up to $450 as a minimum, which for us is an increase of about $180 over what the formula was going to give us per pupil. Some of the schools in the state are going to be getting a couple of thousand up to $5,000 a student based on the way those formulas work out.
Is it flawed?
I would like to see it, you know, formulated a little bit differently, and that's what we've been reaching out to Congressman Wahlberg and, you know, our senators, trying to get them to balance that out. But from the federal level, it's the easiest way to disperse it. And in a lot of states that have county-based school districts, it works because the individual county can then disperse the money to where it's needed. Where in a state like ours, where it's individual districts, it doesn't work as well. But I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, $300,000 is $300,000 more than I would have had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just doesn't allow us to do as much as, you know, some other schools might be able to. But, you know, we'll find good uses for it. We've been able to upgrade our curriculum, our technology. You know, we've tried to avoid buying the one-hit wonder kind of items. We've been buying stuff that's going to last us 5-10 years as much as possible.
Yeah, and you guys are kind of challenged virtually, right?
We are. You know, but it's been working out. We open up to where kids can come in and use on the virtual Wednesdays. They can come into the cafeterias and sit with their devices and get access to the internet. We bought stronger Wi-Fi antennas for our parking lots to where parents can just pull into the lot and the kids can upload and download as they need. You know, people are resilient. They figure out how to make it work. And thankfully, you know, for that case, that, you know, our teachers did a great job of going through their curriculum and figuring out what was essential, what could possibly be missed, so that they're keeping the kids on the right track. They're just not getting quite as much depth on certain topics, but they're covering them to where, you know, in the end, I don't think there's going to be that huge learning loss for our kids that so many people are fearing right now.
How would you describe the job teachers have done in the county?
Miraculous. You know, when I think back to my time in the classroom, trying to manage all the different scenarios of what they're trying to manage, and, you know, some of them being quarantined, so they're teaching from home without access to their materials, and hats off to them. I mean, they have just been doing a great job.
Well, one thing we can count on, death taxes and Hanover Horton having an unbeaten basketball team late into the season.
It's been a fun group to watch, you know, and it was one of those, it was a lot of unknown. Mm-hmm. But it is one of those, they've spent the last couple of years practicing against one of the best groups, you know, we've had come through. And as hard as those guys work and practice every day, that's bound to show up on the court. And, you know, they've stepped up in a big way. We had a great win against Lansing Catholic the other night, shut them down, I think 20 points under their season average.
Yeah.
You know, just that typical lockdown in your face defense and take care of the ball. It's always fun to watch.
You got a decent coach.
Yeah, he does better than most. you know, and that's the thing, even as when I was still teaching and coaching over at Napoleon and scouting games for Jim Dutton over there, I always loved to go watch just how Chad attacks a game from the game planning standpoint. You know, there's very few times he's been out prepared for a game, that's for sure.
Oh, no doubt about that. Athletics has been probably a saving grace, hasn't it?
It has been. You know, for the kids to be able to get back in, having a daughter that was a member of our JV volleyball team, watching that as it went through the summer of you're going to play, you're not going to play, you're playing, you're not playing. For the kids to have that normalcy, to be able to get out and compete and see their friends from other schools, and just to have that experience of it. And, you know, our kids are excited that starting with our games next week, we get to increase the crowd capacity a little bit more. I'm actually going to bring our pep band in, that they've got meet all the requirements for what they need to have. So Tuesday night we'll have our Winter Snowfest game and actually have our pep band in there along with, you know, 300 other people.
Yeah,
which
good deal.
Is an incredibly small crowd for what we normally have, but
yeah,
it'll be great to have the gym with some atmosphere back to it.
What does spring sports look like?
Right now, you know, they pushed back a week.
A week.
But they're still allowing all the off-season practices to happen and everything else, so that's not going to really impact much. The you know, at this point, we're looking to go at it. You know, it's nice advantage is everything's outside, so you can spread people out a little bit easier. you know, that we're still waiting on all the final rules, but my guess is it's going to be to a point where as kids are running in track, they can pull a mask down, but it'll be back up afterwards. And the kids are just ready to compete and to play. They're not too worried about what rules are in place. Yeah. They just want to go do it.
Well, you came here to talk about your construction project. Give our listeners an update on that.
Well, we're to a point where they are putting the roof on the connecting wing today. They should have that finalized, and so we'll be able to get they've measured for the windows and doors to get that all in so we can get it sealed in. And then the wall panels have been going up around the outside of it. The crane's coming in next week, I think, to put the roof on the gym. One of the biggest issues we're running into now, though, is going to be power. That due to, all the manufacturing...
Hold it, this ain't Texas.
A transformer that we need to set for the gym because of the, you know, the HVAC system for the gym takes so much power. We had to set its own box and run a transformer for it. Ordered it in June. It was supposed to be here in November. And then it was January and backed up. And now they're talking May. And unfortunately, you got to have your gym air controlled before those. And then they drop your wood floor in, and then you got to wait for it to kind of normalize, and then they install it. So it's the biggest delay we're going to have now is going to be whenever we can get power to the building.
Is that an auxiliary gym, or will that be your main gym?
No, we did it for practice. That currently neither one of our gyms, either the middle school or the high school, can run two courts at a time. So it makes it real tough to get practices in at a decent time. So kids are practicing until 9:30 at night, and on the weekends super early. So we wanted to add that practice space. It also gives our cheerleaders and our wrestlers a space to be able to practice that can fit them all in. But we didn't. Our gym's got too much atmosphere to lose that. The end seating that we have and everything else. Yeah. We needed a practice space. We didn't need a game space. So. We're excited about it.
That's Hanover basketball right there.
Well, the nice thing is it'll work for everybody because we're going to have two batting cages in it that'll be around year-round that the golfers can use, baseball, softball can use. Our band will use it for marching practice in the rainy days in the fall.
Sure.
And, it'll incorporate everybody, but yeah, basketball will enjoy it a lot too. The club teams will not have to practice quite so early on a weekend because they can get in on with those extra couple of courts. So
you're adding some parking out there? That's always fun on game night.
We did. We expanded out toward Folks Road and Moscow Road on the main lot, which required us to dig a little lake out front, too, because of the drainage requirements. But, we ended up, I think, a net gain of like 10 or 15 parking spots by the time all said and done. Yeah. People are parking along Folks Road off the ditch to get into a game.
Yeah.
A few extra spots was a good thing.
Or you have to take a cab to...
Well, the church across the street is very gracious to let us use their lot when we need to.
Sure. So what do you think this last couple months of the year?
Looking forward to it. You know, I think hopefully people can... keep doing what we've been doing, and the numbers keep coming down lower and lower to where we can keep doing some more of the regular activities. You know, looking ahead, you know, you got prom. You know, the gathering limit's now at 25 in a group. We're not that far off from being able to maybe figure something out. Graduation. Potter Center's not going to be open, so we're going to have to do it on site. But how many people are going to be able to get in? What kind of rules are we going to have in place for those? But, you know, even to a point of roundup, you know, letting the kindergartners and the preschoolers coming into kindergarten, see the building, tour the building, those kinds of things. You know, we're just optimistic that things are going to keep getting better and we're going to keep allowing to get the kids closer and closer back to normal as much as we can.
You planning right now, though, to start the next school year kind of normally?
That's
start of September?
That's where we're at. You know, at this point, we're looking forward to being back to the normal 5-day in class. You know, a lot of that's going to be dependent on where things head with this virus between now and then. But, you know, for everything I'm looking at and seeing and anticipating, I think that'll be where we'll be at. That, it's going to be interesting, but that's the direction we're aiming at.
At Grass Lake tonight for the Comets.
Yes. Should be a good game.
Yeah,
you know, they've got some good athletes over there and gave us some fits. You know, we pulled away a little bit late, but Yeah, Grasslake's a team that can sneak up on you if you're not ready for them.
Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Superintendent John Denny from Hanover Horton on WKHL.